Now, on the subject of good quality questions, it's that part of the show where we go for our question of the week. And standing in for Diana O'Carroll this week is Dr. Kat Arney. Kat.
Yes, I have important news for anyone eager to ensure at their Christmas party that the camera sees their best side.
Hello, my name is Shane, and I've got a question. My question is, why is it that some people are very, very photogenic, while other people are not quite as easy on the eye, to put it politely? Thank you very much.
So why is it that even the prettiest people like me come out badly on film, while some ugly mugs like Chris seem to get away with it?
So I'm Fiona Moore, and I'm a lecturer in psychology at the University of Abertay Dundee. I think the thing about being photogenic is that you could be the best-looking person in the world and just take a terrible photograph. But there are certain things people can do to make themselves more or less photogenic, but there are certain things that some people just are lucky enough to have, which means that they'll take a good photo. And I think that's got a lot to do with maybe bone structure and probably as well being able to smile naturally and look natural in front of a camera, which doesn't seem to be something that everybody can do, which I know from personal experience. The kinds of things that people can do to make themselves look more photogenic are things like, for example, I read a study recently where the camera angle can make people look more or less attractive depending on whether they're male or female. So a camera angle tilted looking down on a female face makes her look more feminine and therefore more attractive, whereas a camera angle sort of looking up at a male face makes them look more masculine. There are things that women do, obviously, like wearing makeup, which it tends to give you a healthier appearance, and we know that a healthy appearance is very closely related to attractiveness. So things like having a healthy skin colour and skin texture, things like having sort of blood perfusion in the skin, so someone that exercises regularly has a lot of blood circulation, makes them look healthier. And evidence recently from the Perception Lab at St Andrews shows that these things are related to diet you eat. If you've got lots of fruit and vegetables in your diet, you've got better skin colour and you look healthier and therefore more attractive. So there are things that people can do to enhance how photogenic they are, but I think ultimately it comes down to how naturally people behave in front of the camera and perhaps very basic things like bone structure.
So the combination of genes, good health, cosmetics and the skill of the photographer, but what makes a face attractive in the first place?
There are things like having a symmetrical face, so not having too much asymmetry in the two halves of the face tends to be associated with attractiveness, and I suppose that's just good luck and good genes. We know that women with feminine facial features are considered much more attractive, so that's things like having bigger eyes and a smaller jaw. In men, it seems to be more complicated. Having sort of a feminine male face is attractive, and so is having a masculine male face. So I think a lot of it is down to your good genes.
So if you've got the perfect face for radio, like the Naked Scientist team, it's probably better to remain behind the mic than in front of the camera. Now, next time, from a feast of faces to a diet of milk.
Hi, this is Budi Prastia from Seattle, Washington. I have a question. Are humans the only animals to consume the milk of a different species? Thank you.
So what do you think? Get in touch by email, chris@thenakedscientist.com. Write your thoughts on our forum at thenakedscientist.com/forum.
Kat, thank you very much. Kat Arney with this week's Question of the Week. And if you have any questions you would like us to tackle, then do send them in to chris@thenakedscientist.com. Well, that's all we've got time for this week, and in fact, that's all we've got time for in 2010. This is our last show of the year. We'll be returning on Sunday the 9th of January, live to air, and in the podcasts on subsequent Tuesdays. And the first thing we'll be looking at when we return next year in 2011 will be the subject of medical dissection and how medical students are taught anatomy in medical school. We'll be looking at a new documentary from New Zealand with the guy who made it, Paul Trotman, who'll be here in the studio to introduce us to how he filmed people who were going to leave their body to medical science and then spoke to the students who dissected those people. We'll also take a visit to Cambridge University's own dissection room to find out actually what students take away from the whole process and how effective it is at actually helping people to learn their anatomy to turn them into good doctors. Also, thank you very much to our wonderful Naked Scientist team, without whom none of this would be possible. So thank you, Ben, Dave, Kat, Sarah, Mira and Diana. And of course to you for listening as well. Now, we have got a little Christmas present for you because we've got a new strand launching called the Naked Science Scrapbook, which promises to draw out the facts. And a special sneak preview of that will publish on our main Naked Scientist feed on Christmas Day, so you'll be able to get that, but it will also be in iTunes, and you can look it up there. It's called Naked Science Scrapbook, and you can subscribe to its feed there. In the meantime, have a very Merry Christmas. Thank you once again for joining us for a whole year of The Naked Scientists in 2010, and we look forward to having your company in 2011 when we celebrate the 10th birthday of The Naked Scientists. Until then, goodbye.
The Naked Scientists comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, the Natural Environment Research Council, and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.